to encourage us tonight.
Thanks, Ross. Well, it's a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. It's lucky to see a lot of old faces, and there's a lot of new faces as well that I don't know. So, I haven't been here in quite a while. Thanks for the invite. And thank you especially to to Ross and Magriet. And I just think you got the most awesome pastors here. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, and I'm so excited for them. They both look pretty in pink, or Ross, that's more reddish. Sorry. From here, the red and the white. But, I'm so excited for Nathan, who's on the way. God is just really, really so good to all of us, isn't he? And this is really a church on the move. I love hearing about what's happening here at Tigerberg, with everything happening at Delft and China. And when I got to Tigerberg campus tonight, I thought I missed the rapture. You guys are really on the move, but luckily we found you guys. So it's lucky to be here. I bring greetings and love and salutations from your baby brother church out on the West Coast, Table View. And you got some familiar faces, guys, that you'll recognize. Excuse me, like Rob over there, who's serving faithfully in Table View now. So, yeah. The church out there, we're still, as I said, baby church, but the Lord is good, and we're growing slowly but surely. The Lord was very gracious to us recently and added a whole bunch of youth from a nearby school where we have a few teachers, and they just started saying to the teachers, but they want to come to church. It was after some time of us praying and so on, and the Lord saying, but now we're entering really a time of harvest, and really started praying into that. And two Sundays later, there was another 35 souls added to the church, and the church was full, and we had to pack out chairs from the mother's room and everything. I was so excited, I was jumping up and down. So there's good. Then the week after that, we started with the youth service, and it's good things that are happening all over Shofar World, and we can all testify to God's goodness. I'm very excited to share with you tonight. Before I start, just get that out the way quickly. Who's got a smartphone here? Okay, I know that your phones are meant to be off, but maybe someone whose phone's just on silent still. Tilman. Yeah, it's between you and Norman. Only the two of you. You can tell me, you put up your hand if whoever gets it first. What day is today? I know we all know it's Sunday. Okay. Every day is like a national day of something or other. Okay, so you can Google it or whatever you want to do. Phone a friend. Don't phone. Okay, just Google. All right. So the two of you, we'll see who's the most proficient on this on the web in a second or two. Title of the message: The Good Portion. Green Day. Okay. It's not Frederick, your name is? It is Frederick. Oh, okay, I'm Frederick, yes. Green, is it National Green Day? Something to do with it. Okay. Well, sorry guys, can you verify that? You can't find it. And you got a green shirt on. You knew it was Green Day. And Norman either. Frederick, that's great. We don't know what it means. Maybe you can tell us later. Are you good at catching? That's good. Okay. Thanks. Sorry, guys. Freddie's quicker than you guys. Okay. All right. Brilliant. Okay. National Green Day. I'll tell you later what my point was with that. But all right. Luke chapter 10. Sorry, I haven't been here for a long time, so I'm going to share quite a lot of different things. So you really need to buckle up and focus tonight. And I'm going to try and go quite quickly. Otherwise, we're going to be here quite long. Does anyone mind if I'm a minister for close to an hour? Do I have an hour? Anyone give me an hour? There's an hour, 2 hours, three, four. Okay, it's good. It's good. Shake someone next to you and say, "Are you ready?" Okay. Ready, steady, Freddy. Now, as they went on their way, you can follow in your Bibles if you want. I think this is the English Standard Version. Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha, you guys know the story, welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And now, recently, we just playing catch up with the ministry training program at headquarters, and they've got a new sort of itinerary and how they do it over 6 months. You go there for a week at a time for a total of 4 weeks over a 6 month period, and you go through a lot of theory things and catching up on just the different departments at headquarters and how they support the local church plants. And it's really awesome. At Shofar, we're so privileged. We've got such a good infrastructure and support base for all the churches out there. We're really privileged, and we're all reaping the rewards of the work that has gone before us and the people that are grafting away out there in Stellenbosch at HQ. And we had a few sessions with Pastor Henny Swart, you guys know him, and he's such a strong teacher and so strong in the Word. And he was teaching us about hermeneutics, which is the science of interpreting Scripture. And, you know, so he would give us a portion of Scripture to go and look at, and we've got to now decipher it and you know, break it down into the different sort of parts and tell each other exactly what it means and go and research in the Greek and everything. And I mean, yeah, just the programs that are available online, the Bible packages, it's quite awesome what you can get and just how deep you can go and dig in Scripture. So we're just starting to scratch the surface there, and it's quite exciting the journey that lies ahead of really just digging deeper and deeper into Scripture. But I know it's something that Ross also tells us quite often is, you know, when you read a portion of Scripture, you know, we can go and look at it again, and there's some sort of underlying observations that we can make, even if, you know, just going through it a second or a third time. And so often I find with the Word, you read over it so quickly and we miss so much, actually. The Word of God is alive, and it really brings life when we chew it a little bit. You see, because you can eat and you'll be okay. You can just gobble it all down. But food comes alive to you and it becomes an experience, and it can be life-changing when you start chewing it and the flavors start coming out. And so sometimes we need to spend some more time chewing on the Word. Instead of just rushing through your daily reading, you know, take even a smaller piece of Scripture, but chew over it, mull over it, meditate on it a bit more. Even take a few days on it, you know. It really isn't a race as far as that's concerned. And so this portion of Scripture really, you know, highlights so many different things. You can go back to that one again. We'll stay on there for a little while. I just want you to think about, maybe there's a few observations that you can make. Now you can just put up your hand, and then I'll just ask you if something there stands out for you, or just an observation that you can make from that portion of Scripture. What is it telling you? You know, one of the first services I went to after I came to the Lord, it was in the South African of the SA Gemeente in King's Cross in London. And the Dominee there said, you know, every time he reads Scripture, he asks himself a few questions. He asks himself, what does this piece of Scripture tell me about mankind as a whole? What does it tell me about God? And what is its practical implication or application in my own life? What does it tell me about me? You know, those are maybe a few questions we can always keep in mind when we're reading through Scripture. Because at the end of the day, the Lord expects us, you know, there's normally something very practical that we can apply in our lives. If we're not doers of the Word, it doesn't profit us anything. So, just from that portion of Scripture, does anyone want to make any observations? So I'm really trying to interact just in this part of the message with you guys. Any observations? You've got Mary, you've got Martha, and you've got Mary, and you've got Jesus there. Okay, and there's different things happening in the room there. They're all together in the room. What do you see? Okay, I'd like to propose Elri. Okay, they seem to have different priorities. They're both sort of quite focused in what they're busy with at the moment. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good observation. That often we think we need to be busy doing stuff in order to impress the Lord as such. Okay. Martha welcomed him into the house. She wanted him there. But now she's sort of at a distance a bit. Yeah. Very good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we can also think, Lord, but the Lord doesn't care about us. And yeah, we are very busy. And observation that we make of Martha there. Yeah, one or two more. Yes, Mezen. Hi, Andre. Like it to see you. Sure. Good observation. Yeah, so Martha is busy serving, but at the same time, as we can see there, verse 40, that it was distracting her from Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Okay. That we could think that she's busy with secular things, but she's actually busy with the things of God. She's busy, in a sense, serving Him, but she's missing Him in the picture. Okay, so yes, those are all very valid observations, and there's a couple more that one can make as well. And I encourage you to maybe go and relook at this portion of scripture at some point during this week, and maybe just jot down a few observations and ask yourself those few questions. What does it tell us about society, about myself, and about God, about what He wants? And it's quite an interesting exercise. You know, I'd like to, for the purpose of this exercise, just draw a few comparisons then between us and Martha. You know, so often we kind of fall back into that kind of a rut. And it's a place where we know the Lord. She welcomed Him into the house, or at least, you know, in terms of the analogy here between Martha and Mary, they both exposed to Jesus. Jesus is in their home with them. They both have the same, let's just say they both have the same revelation about Jesus, for the purpose of this reading. And you got obviously the two approaches. You got Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, and then Martha very busy. Let's say hypothetically she was busy preparing a meal for Jesus. I mean, you welcome Jesus into your home. I think it's customary to feed a guest, and she obviously, you know, knows that Jesus is very special and everything. They had experience of Him before. And, you know, I think you will go pretty much all out if you have this man of God in your home. It'll be, you know, 10 times worse than if the Queen of England is coming to visit. You know, she is busy preparing her best dish, like, you know, my wife's cottage pie. It's to die for. Okay, so she's busy preparing, and she's getting a bit frustrated because, I mean, to prepare this dish, it takes, you know, all hands on deck, or, you know, if we want to eat before midnight, then, you know, Mary must help. And she's super busy with the things of God, or in order to bless the Lord or serve Him. And Mary's just sitting there, and she's kind of receiving there. And so Martha, in a sense, was focused on the immediate needs, on the things of, let's say, temporary value. And we often find ourselves in that rut where we get sort of roped in, drawn in, tied up with the urgent things, and we sort of fail to distinguish between the urgent and the important, you know. And There's a lot of people in this day and age, and where you're out there on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on email, cell phone, you're everywhere, you know, you've got a footprint, you know, in 1,000 different places, and there's people out there, and there's a lot of people demanding your attention and requiring things of you. And we need to really be masterful at learning to distinguish between what is important, what must get done, and what is urgent. What are people expecting to get done right now? But actually, it doesn't rank as important as this other thing. So I must really put that on hold. I must learn to say no. My boss once told me, you know, everything can wait for tomorrow. Okay? There's nothing really that's going to cause the end of the world, you know, except when Jesus comes back. And I know he's coming back soon, so there is an urgency about us in the kingdom. But don't feel pressured or forced to please people. We don't live to please people. We live to please the Lord. So it's really, we got to be in this place of sensitivity, knowing what does the Lord want from us right now. You know, and the Lord is busy teaching there. So Martha would have done well to go and sit and listen there. These are the words of life. You know, this is from the person that said that man shall not live on bread alone or cottage pie or whatever, you know, but from every word that comes from my mouth, this is more important now. Okay, and so Mary chose the good portion. So the Lord says to Martha, because you can see, I mean, Martha's getting agitated. You can just imagine, we've all been in that situation. Ma, why doesn't my sister help me? Or, you know, why do I have to pack the toys away alone? You know, I'm going way back now. Okay. So you can see, now she's coming. Now she's complaining to the Lord. Now she's telling the Lord what to do. Lord, tell her to help me. You know, we get like that with the Lord. We go to him with our wish list and whatever. We tell the Lord how to do things and what he must do. Instead of listening, what's on his heart? He's busy teaching. He's always wanting to teach us something. Always, always. Anything that happens in life is a teaching opportunity when it comes to the Lord. Why? Because we're not perfected yet and we're in relationship with a perfect one. He can always teach us something. So, Martha is busy complaining there. Don't we find that quite often when we become so focused on the things we're busy with and we take our eyes off the Lord. Remember, she was distracted from the Lord. Now we start comparing ourselves to other people. You see, she was comparing herself to Mary. She's comparing her contribution to Mary's contribution, perceived contribution. Something that Pastor Fred has been ministering on recently, that we are so sort of focused on our contribution. We're actually compared to what the Lord did for us and what he's called of us. You know, it pales into insignificance, you know. And so often, you know, and we can get into this competitive, comparing, you know, mindset. And we can miss the Lord completely. She's distracted from the Lord immediately. She starts complaining. She starts comparing. And the Lord says, I can see that you're anxious. You're troubled about many things. Okay? He's not sort of degrading her. He's not saying that what she's doing isn't important. But what he does say is one thing is necessary. Okay? Yeah, there's a lot of important things, but one thing is necessary. Okay, and Mary has chosen that good portion which won't be taken away from her. Because we can do a lot of things for the Lord, but at the end of the day, he didn't ask us to all do a million different things. Together, the body of Christ, if obedient, will complete the work. And we know God's got a perfect plan. With God's help, we will complete the work. But everyone has a specific part. Okay, and so we need to really go and hear at the Lord's feet, what is it that he wants us to do? What is it that he wants us to do? And then we must go and do that. Because at the end of the day, the Lord will reward us not on all the different things we did, but he will reward us on whether we did what he asked us to do. And today we've got a lot of believers running around doing things that the Lord never asked us to do, that the Lord actually asked someone else to do. And sometimes either we're duplicating the work, you know, and it's actually futile, or we are actually blocking someone else's, you know, from their operating in their gifting and so on. And sometimes we must just listen from the Lord, and then we can just step out of the way and let the Lord put that person where he's meant to be, and we can focus on what we have to do from the Lord. If every part of the body just fulfills its function properly, man, we'll be an unstoppable force. And we just need to get there. It's just about sensitivity to the Lord and really then obedience. Pray and obey, as Joyce Meyer always says. So the Lord is telling us that relationship is important. It doesn't help that we get so busy with the things of God, but that we miss the God of the things. You know, where's our worship at? Is it on our contribution and what we feel? Or is it really the Lord? Is the Lord our focus? And that's why tonight was so special. Just really, really enjoyed worshiping here with you. It was just like a focus on the Lord. And that's really, that's what makes it special to come together. And unfortunately, for some of us, this is like the thrust and the highlight. And, you know, and it's great if it's a highlight, but this is like the thrust of our spirituality and our time with the Lord in the week. And this is more meant to be kind of a celebration. This is family time, and this is great, you know, but it's really an everyday walk with the Lord, where we are meeting with the Lord and so on. So we know that if this is the only place where we hear the Lord's voice, and it's great, and we do hear the Lord's voice here, you know, then we need to really sit up and make sure that we make it a priority to, on a personal level as well, make time with the Lord, to choose that good portion, to choose what is necessary, what is important. Make sure you place the important over the urgent. Because sometimes it's just urgent in someone else's eyes. He doesn't have the same priorities in you, and he can get super excited and worked up about this thing not getting done immediately. But if you know what you called for, you see, we need to plan our time. The world wants to plan our time for us. Actually, the enemy wants to distract us. And he'll put any bait out there. Every day of the year has got some kind of there's a day. Today is Green Day. Okay. There's Tielman, Dierwald, and Dirk, and JP, and I don't know you next to JP. They got it right. Okay, Green Day, they wore the green. All of us missed it. Okay. Not saying anything there. But literally, if you don't know what you're going to do every day, if you haven't planned your time, other people will plan it for you, and you're going to miss it wholesale. All right. We need to spend time with the Lord and ask Him. Okay, so we all have a calling. We all have a ministry, each one of us, from the Lord. Everyone who's been saved has a ministry. Like Uncle Angus says, first to the mountain, then to the ministry. We must first find out from the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? We can't just run in assumption. We can't run on yesterday's revelation. We need fresh manna, fresh food every day. Okay, we need to chew on it. So I don't know, that was just, you know, that's in line with what I want to say tonight. Then I just want to race through a few other things, and we're going to kind of get back to this. But the point is, we have a choice here. Mary chose the good portion. We've got a choice. Every day we've got a choice. Who are we serving today? Are we serving ourselves? Are we serving the Lord? Are we serving other people? What are we serving? Let's get our priorities in order. Okay, we need to focus on things of eternal value and significance. And also note that you can't become more significant in God's eyes or in this life by doing more things. It's about doing that specific thing that the Lord called you to. Only there will you find your significance. We all have a yearning for significance. And we all have a yearning for security. Those two things you only find in the Lord. You only find in the Lord. Okay, amen. Amen. Need to find out what's on God's heart for us. The fact of the matter is, we've been called to live a life that reaches far beyond our immediate sort of circle, our immediate needs and circumstances. In Genesis 1:28, we read there that the Lord has called us to have dominion over all living things. Okay? It's huge. If you're just living for yourself, if you're only taking care of your own needs, you're not having dominion over anything. You're just existing. You're not having dominion. You're not having influence. The Lord has called us to have dominion. And we need to find out where. We'll only have dominion. We can only walk in that authority when the Lord is with us there. Like Moses said, Lord, don't take us through this desert. You know, we're not going to go if you're not with us. We don't want to go if you're not with us. To have dominion is to walk in authority that God has called us to, and that authority that exists, that's in the realm of God's will for your life. That is where things start happening. That is where things start moving. Okay. How many times in the Bible don't we read when the Lord speaks, "He who has ears, let him hear"? Okay, we all got ears. We got two of them. We got one mouth. But we kind of have an inverse relationship as far as that analogy goes. We do more talking than listening. Jesus is saying to the people that he's teaching, "He who has ears, let him hear." All right. And this is what the Lord wants for us. Like Mary sat at Jesus' feet and he's teaching her. The Lord wants us to listen. He wants us to listen attentively. The Greek word for obey, hupokouio, that means to listen attentively and then to follow the instruction. We cannot hope to be in God's will for our lives if we are not spending sufficient time listening and finding out exactly. If you need to obey something from God, you want to find out. I mean, you get different types of personalities. I don't know, you guys know about the DISC test. There are many different sort of personality tests and stuff that you can take. And, you know, you get classified as a D, a dominant person, or a C. There's, you know, someone who's very focused on details. And you get an I, that's someone who always sort of life of the party, jumps up and shouts or something like that, or goes, woohoo, whenever there's something, you know. And you get an S. There's only one guy, not long. Woo! Okay. I also got a bit of I in me. All right. So, it's all good. So, the Lord gave us these personalities, and we all fit in somewhere. And it's great. And together, we're the body. We only prophesy in part, but together, we see the full picture. Wisdom is found in the counsel of many. So, the point is, you know, we need to make sure that we, in a certain sense, we're all in that area of the C's. That's where I was going to with the DISC test. You know, that is someone who is a C on this DISC test is someone who won't, you can tell him to do something. If you haven't given that person every little detail, that person won't do the job. And you'll ask them a week later, so have you done it? It's like, no, I was waiting for more information. You know, you have to tell them down to it, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's exactly how you want it done. Only then can they. And when it comes to God, we need to be a little bit leaning on that side, you know, when it comes to listening to the instructions and doing that. So often we get half a message because we don't bother spending enough time listening to him. And then we run, and we're running an assumption, and we're actually missing it completely. If you miss the instructions by 1 degree, where are you going to end up, you know, when it comes to the finish line? You're going to be way off course. All right, so we need to spend time listening. You've got two ears, one mouth. When we go to the Lord, we spend more time talking, don't we, than listening. And it's frustrating. You know why? Because we're conditioned to. Because everything happens fast these days. And we expect the Lord to be the same way. You know? I mean, we're used to getting all the information we need from a 30-second TV ad. The Lord is not going to compete with television. He doesn't want to do it that way. He doesn't have to. Okay? He wants to take his time with us. He wants to make sure we understand. Because what he's got in store for us is much more important than where you're going to get your burger and whatever and how much that's going to cost. All right, so we need to take time with the Lord. And we could see tonight, I mean, the whole night already, the Lord's just calling us back into a more intimate, a deeper relationship with him. And that takes time. Any relationship takes time. With Mary and Martha, the Lord is using opportunity of teaching. He says it's about relationship. That's what's important. You're busy doing a lot of stuff there, and it's great, but come sit here by me. I want you to know me. I want you to hear my heart. I'm busy sharing here. I'm not going to be here for a long time in this capacity. Come and sit by my feet. You know, and the Lord is near. People, the Lord is near. I've been, you know, I've had a dream two mornings ago, and I don't often remember dreams and so on. And, you know, it was a vivid, detailed dream. Something that is quite sort of, it was a warning and was very important and, you know, concerning, you know, someone else and everything. And it was very profound and everything. But the bottom line was, you know, a lot of things that I could draw out of that, and I've acted on it already, but that, you know, there's little time left. We don't have time to waste. And you know, the Lord, he's gearing up to come back. And we need to get serious about the things of God. We need to get serious about our relationship with him and about hearing what's on his heart and then running with that. And then every so often we need to reevaluate, where am I compared to what the Lord told me to do? Because, you know, so often we slowly veer off course, and actually, you know, and it's not even really nagging, but until you stop and take stock once in a while and just check, am I actually doing what the Lord asked me to do the last time I went to listen about the big thing that he's asked me to do? You know, we need to reevaluate. Like you have performance appraisals at work, we need to do the same with our spiritual journey and with the calling that God has placed on our life. There's nothing more important than that after we get saved, you know, because that involves the people that God will bring over your life. That is why we're still here. We're still alive to fulfill God's purpose in our life. So we need to go and find out. We need to reevaluate. Do that performance appraisal for yourself. And I think often we'll find, man, I've actually veered a little off that path that the Lord wants me. I need to get back there. What do I need to do to get back there? I'm busy involving myself in some dead works, inverted commas, things plainly that the Lord hasn't asked me to do. They can be good things, but for you it's not a God thing because God didn't ask you to do it. You thought it was a good idea, okay? And a lot of other people might think it's a good idea. But if that's not what God has asked you to do and you are neglecting what God has asked you to do, then you need to get back there as a matter of urgency to what God has asked you to do. So we all need to. So tonight is about, the Lord is reminding us, let's walk close. Let us come back to him and ask him, Lord, you know, what is it that you want from me at this time? You know, and be open to the fact that it might only be for a season, because we need to, it's a continuous process of relationship with the Lord and hearing, you know, am I where the Lord wants me to be? Am I still in the center of his will for my life? And sometimes you're really struggling, going through a hard time because you're actually far out of where the Lord wants you to be. And the Lord, if you don't listen, he will use your circumstances to try and guide you back so that you can like, okay, whoa, you know, my circumstances have driven me to my knees. That's actually a good place to be because now I can hear God's voice again. Oh, I'm not meant to be here. Sorry. Okay. So we need to go and find out. Doesn't mean that every difficulty or challenge is because we're in the wrong place, right? Challenges are also there depending on how we respond to it, you know, in order to strengthen us and bring growth. Okay, so who has ears, let him hear. That rings true for us as individuals, also as a small group, also as a church. And we'll talk a bit more about that now. I'm just going to race through the next part, how different ways that God speaks to us. It's about recognizing his voice, okay? Primarily, I believe he speaks to us through his word because he's given us his word already. This is the full revelation of who God is. And his will for you in this life is going to be contained in this book. God will never contradict this book. All right. So we need to spend time in this book. All right. We can never grow past spending time in this book. So you can read it over and over again, and the Lord will continue to feed you and to strengthen you and to grow you and direct you. God shows us where to. He gives you direction through his word. Psalm 119, your words are a lamp to my feet. He shows you the next step and a light to my path. He will give you the direction. Okay. So he'll show you which direction, like on a compass, and then he'll light your feet and show you the next step. And then he also shows us the how to, as we read there in 2 Timothy 3. Okay, the scriptures are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that we may be competent, complete for every good work. All right, so you want to know where to and how to, go to the manual. B-I-B-L-E, Book of Instruction Before Leaving Earth. Okay, you can't escape it. You got to get there. All right, we need to spend time in the Word. Read through the Word systematically. Best way to go, we don't pray Russian, play Russian roulette with the Word of God. Don't just like, oh Lord, what's your Word for me today? Then they return to Jerusalem. Oh, okay, I better go to Jerusalem because the Lord has spoken. No, it's not, you know, we don't play Russian roulette when it comes to the Word of God. So our elder there in Table View, Prof. Johan Schoeman, some of you guys will know him from varsity here, from Tigerberg campus. And he's such a blessing, him and his wife, Tanriana. They're a lovely couple, so such a great support to us. And he's got the one-year Bible, and he reads through it every year. So he's probably read through that Bible 30 times, you know. And that's awesome. And he's going strong, and he's learning every day still. You know, the Lord feeds him and teaches him. So we can never really, you know, get too much Bible and start saying, okay, I'm going to put the Bible on a shelf and start reading, you know, some other books, some Christian literature. That is a great supplement, but it can never replace the Bible. So we must make sure we get the healthy diet. This is the full course, you know. This is your meat, your starches, your veggies. It's all here. That other stuff is like sometimes maybe like a malfaki or something on the side, you know. And it's lekker and it's easy to pellet and you can always eat more of it. But this stuff you need to get through your veggies. Okay. All right. Okay, God speaks to us through people. I must go quicker. Romans 10, you guys know it. How are they to hear without someone preaching? You know, a lot of us, we're growing in the Lord, and some of us have come to the Lord because of someone's preaching. All right, the Lord uses people. He's chosen to use the body of Christ, the church, people. He's chosen to reveal His splendor and His glory and His majesty through us frail, fallible people. Okay, and so we mustn't discount people coming up to you. Even an unbeliever can teach you something about God's character, you know. And so really it's something we have to be open to, always test it and measure it. But we read about the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Lord gave us supernatural gifts, and we have them in order to serve one another. So we are meant to be learning from one another. In your small group, that is the greatest place, the safe place to grow, to discover and grow in your gifting, your spiritual gifting. Because the Lord has spiritual giftings for each of us that have been filled with His Spirit. We can ask Him for that filling of the Spirit, and He's got spiritual giftings for us with which we can bless and strengthen one another. Together we can get stronger and stronger. So, you know, the small group is really a place where, you know, it's like where you go for your weekly sort of faith injection. And it's awesome. You come out stronger each time. It was the highlight of my week when I first came to Shofar in 2004, small group. You know, that was really, you know, just building relationship with other believers, because I came from a place where when I got saved, I had no other believers around me. I didn't know any other believers. And I was hungry for relationship with believers, people that understood me and could share my passion with the Lord, people I could learn from. And, you know, so that was really a highlight for me. And I want to challenge you, you know, if small group isn't a highlight for you, go and seek God for what is the purpose of your small group and of you in that small group. Because your faith is going to grow there. Plus, the Lord wants to use you to bless other people. So if you choose to stay at home on Wednesday night, you're actually, you know, doing a disservice to those people in the small group. You're robbing them of a gift and of a blessing, because each one of us is a blessing from God. Amen? Amen. So you can go and read then chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, about the different gifts and so on. It's quite awesome. And then the God speaks to us through dreams and visions. Joel 2:28, pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men see visions. We see that with Joseph, for instance. If you just keep clicking a little bit there, on the screen, you can keep going. And Joseph got, you know, the Lord used him in the area of dreams. And we see with Paul how the Lord also revealed Himself to him in vision and so on. I'm just going quickly. The Lord also speaks to us through nature. Got Abraham as an example there, where the Lord gave him a promise, and kind of, you know, as he was looking up at the stars, and the stars was this picture of this promise of his descendants. And so every time, you can imagine Abraham looking up to the stars, he'd be reminded of this promise that God made, and the Lord would minister to him and speak to him through nature. And it was quite interesting the way that the Lord first revealed to me that He wanted us to help establish a church in Tableview was through nature as well, through clouds actually. I don't know if I've told this story here before of how the Lord formed a perfect M and a P in the clouds. The rest of the sky was just blue. It was after a friend of mine's father's funeral, and I was just sitting by the sea and just praying, and then the Lord had me look up, and I knew He wanted to speak to me about, I just had a feeling about this, you know, the Lord wanting to send us to plant, and I'd prayed and fasted and spent time in the mountains already about it, and the Lord just told me, you know, He will share with me when the time is right, and I had such peace. And then as I looked up that day at the sky, the Lord just impressed on my heart, this is about the church plant. And so I'll see this, and it was really uncanny because it was supernatural. I've never seen anything like it. A perfect M and a P, you know, like the little strepe on the M was there and everything. And I think you could only even see it from my angle. There weren't a lot of people around and whatever. But, you know, the Lord was speaking to me like booming from heaven, you know, where He wants us to go. I knew it was about the where. And I'm asking myself, Mpumalanga? You know, what? That's the only thing that sort of came to mind. And, you know, so I'm sitting there a bit perplexed. And the Lord says to me, no, Milnerton to Parklands, that area. And so, yeah, that was awesome. The Lord gave me a clear, distinct geographical area. And I just sat on that for a little while, just prayed about it for a few days. And I wanted to make sure that I heard right. I asked the Lord, please, you know, give me confirmation. And I decided not to share with my wife immediately because I know that she'd be overjoyed because it's still close to the grannies and the grandpas and everything. I didn't want emotions to play a role. Because we were both at a place where we were ready to go anywhere for the Lord. We always, you know, since we were married, that was our mindset and our heart. And, you know, whether it was going to be Timbuktu, if there was two T's, I would have probably thought Timbuktu or something. But M and a P. And then the following week, I've just felt the liberty to go and share with Ross. And then I shared with him, and he virtually, you know, he had such a peace about him, he virtually immediately said, you know, that previous week, you know, like while the Lord is busy speaking to me, they were having a meeting at HQ about, you know, upcoming church plants and strategic plants, and they had my name next to Tableview, and that's full smack bang in the middle of that area. So pretty much was the confirmation we were all looking for, and got the ball rolling from that. That was March 2009. And we started praying later that year in Tableview and first service January 2010. And yeah, it's really great to be out there and to know that you are where God wants you to be. We need a word from the Lord. We need to spend time with Him and hear what He wants for us. Because when times get tough, and they do for all of us, the greatest comfort and encouragement is to know that you are exactly where the Lord wants you to be. You heard from the Lord, you are meant to be there. Now I can go on. I will face every challenge because I know that's where God wants me to be. And I will die doing or trying to do what God has asked me to do. Okay. That is the best place to be, is in God's will for your life. But to be there, we need to inquire of the Lord. Okay. And we need to commit our ways to Him. Then He can make your path straight. But we need to inquire of Him. The Lord will speak to us through nature. It's not on the screen there, but you guys know the story in Numbers 22 of Balaam's donkey. The Lord could even open the mouth of the donkey to speak to Balaam. I always find it very funny how he doesn't immediately sort of fall off the donkey and like go, what? This animal is speaking to me. You know, he actually enters a conversation with the animal and tells him, you know, I'm going to beat you another time. And it's so funny. So the Lord can do anything. Don't count. I've seen a video clip of dogs, owners teaching their dogs how to speak. Now, you know, anything's possible. I want my mama. You know, dogs saying these kind of things. So it's a crazy world we live in. But the Lord, if we can teach our dogs how to talk, the Lord can make a donkey talk to you. All right. You know, too often we put God in a box. Face it, people, we put God in a box. We become so accustomed to our methods and how we do our time with the Lord and how we expect Him to speak to us. We actually have put a mandate there and said, Lord, if you don't speak to me in this way, I'm not going to listen to you. you know, who are we to question him? Who are we to tell him how to do things? He's the God of the universe. He's got everything at his disposal. He's a creative God. Every small detail he created, you know. He's weaving Nathan together in Machrit's womb there. It's awesome as we speak. God is so awesome and creative. Let's not put him in a box. Let us not, you know, predetermine how he should speak to us. Okay. Let God surprise you. Be open to how God can speak to you. Be wide open. Look up at the sky. Is the Lord giving me a sign or something? You know? But if you're unsure, the Lord will give you confirmation. You can ask for confirmation. But man, God is big. He's so much bigger than our paradigm. He has to sort of, you know, he has to leave his throne in the sky and come and live amongst us so that we can actually catch his heart. Jesus came and revealed the Father's heart to us. And he's continuing to do that. The Holy Spirit with us, continuing wanting to reveal the Father's heart and his will for our lives. We need to stop. We need to listen. Right. God can speak to us through his voice audibly as well. Paul heard his voice. Pastor Fred, I know, has heard his voice. I only realized after I got saved that the Lord spoke to me audibly when I was about 12 or 13. The Lord was calling me, kind of like he was calling Samuel, and I just didn't know it was him, and I didn't have, you know, Eli to ask at that time. Yeah, God is awesome. He can speak to us audibly as well. Spirit to spirit, Romans 8 verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, so many different avenues and vehicles the Lord can use to speak to us. I've got to go a bit quicker, I'm sure. Our conscience, finally there, Romans 2, the law is written on our hearts, while their conscience also bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. The Lord can speak to us through our conscience. How many of us still, you know, have that law written on our conscience? And because the fact of the matter is we can sear our conscience, you know, by continuing deliberately in sinful ways and so on, it kind of, we become numb and blunt to that voice in our head that's showing us this, what you're doing is wrong now. You know, and that's, you know, we were, most of us brought up in Christian homes, and most of us, you know, obviously, we weren't born saved, but we had these kind of a good moral standing. And then we veered off of that, from those moral principles. We veered away from that. And, you know, you might think back to the first few times that you really sinned grievously. And I know with me, you know, it was really nagging me. I knew what I was doing was wrong and was bothering me. But, you would justify it. Everyone's doing it and whatever and whatever. And, just that voice will get softer and softer, and eventually your conscience is so seared you don't hear it anymore. Okay? And sometimes even as believers, we can get to that place where our conscience is completely dead and seared. We need to ask God to make it alive again, just that we can be sensitive once more to his voice. Because actually we've strayed off the path, you know, and we've justified everything that we do, and we need to get back there. Second part, how do we know then that it's God that is speaking to us? Okay, sorry, there again is just the summary, different ways God speaks to us. The next slide, how do we know that it's God that speaks to us? Firstly, John 10, I'm just taking highlights out for the sake of time, that it says there, we know his voice. Okay, sheep follow him, verse 4, for they know his voice. Right, we know the voice of God. Right, unfortunately, there's different voices that are ministering in this day and age. So, but we can, as the children of God, we do know his voice because he has already spoken to us. We need to get to know his voice better so that when he speaks to us, we immediately recognize it. Again, how do we know his voice? Spend time in his word. Then you'll get to know the voice of God. Okay, because this is how it speaks to us. All right. Okay. If you've got the old King James, it doesn't speak to you like that anymore. Okay. God is with it. He moves with the times. All right. So you can get yourself a more modern reading so that you can actually discern his voice. Okay. Obviously, you can throw in the these and the thous if you want. But John 16, the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. The Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. There, verse 13. Okay? And in verse 14, he will glorify me. When God is speaking, Jesus is being glorified. Okay? It's never going to be something that does not bring glory to Jesus. Okay? Or that is disrespectful to Jesus. Then it's not God that's speaking. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. Chew the meat and spit out the bones. Especially when we're reading Christian literature, like, you know, books besides the Bible, there's always going to be bones there that need to get spat out. Always. Okay, because that's one person's interpretation. All right, and we need to make sure that we test things according to the Word of God. And no one person can prophesy in full. The Bible says everyone only prophesies in part. No one has the full picture. So you can't just go on one person's interpretation of the truth. Right, we need to seek it for ourselves. God, if you seek, you will find. God will bless you. He wants to speak to you, not just through some medium, through some, you know, prophet or whatever. We need to test everything. So therefore, in summary, when God is speaking to us, Jesus is glorified, and it will never contradict the Word of God, the written Word of God. It will never contradict this. All right. It's so great, that story. I love it in 1 Kings chapter 19 of Elijah, when the Lord tells him to go and stand there in the mountains, and the Lord wants to meet with him. And then it says a rushing wind, a mighty wind comes, is breaking the rocks and everything. But it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. It says then after the wind was an earthquake. Okay, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Then after the fire there was the sound of a low whisper. Okay, and we would expect the Lord to be in this rushing tornado, or maybe in the earthquake, or maybe in the fire, because God is so big and everything. But this again is a sign that the Lord will surprise you. Don't put God in a box. Yeah, he chooses to speak with a low whisper. He's that still, small voice. I used to love staying in Stellenbosch. You know, when I came back from the UK after the Lord saved me there. And I used to love going into the mountains because it's so quiet. It's immediate. It's so amazing. You walk 5 minutes into the mountain, and it's like the noise of the city is just like a faint din in the background. And you can really just, everything's quiet, and you can really hear the Lord's voice. You're just so ready and receptive to when God speaks. It's so awesome. I know we're not near a mountain over here. And you're not near the sea either. Okay, we near the sea now in Table View, but you'll find your quiet place. All right. Uncle Angus speaks about the Russian believers in they've got what they call a pustinya. He mentioned it at the One Mighty Men's long ago. And so obviously, the Russian church persecuted and everything, but these believers, then they've got this little hockey in the back of their garden. And they will go in there, and a little 2x4, whatever, and they'll sit there and they'll spend time with the Lord. That's where they shut out the world. You know, Jesus says, don't go pray like the Pharisees, standing on the street corners looking all pious and everything. Go into your room and close the door. Modern translation, turn the BlackBerry off. Okay, you need to focus on me now. All right, so we need to find that quiet place. So I used to love the mountains. Now I'm at the sea and I'm missing the mountains. The Lord tells me, so I'm trying to get used to the new scenery now. And, it's a bit more, the traffic is a bit closer and everything. And so there's like maybe a bit more distractions, but there's grace for that, because I'm not at the mountains now. And the Lord tells me, but listen for my voice between the crashing of the waves. So we need to reacclimatize ourselves to where we're at. But the Lord wants to meet with you. Okay. And so I loved it. Not a long, a few months back, we went to my folks in Stellenbosch and went for a walk in the neighborhood and had a ball. And I'm, Christian, our 2-year-old, and busy kicking the ball with him. And then we're going down the hill and I think he kicked the ball, and it rolled and went into one of those water ducts, a drain. And okay. So now, opportunity to be your son's hero. Okay, climb into the drain. All right. So first, those drain covers up there in Stellenbosch are super thick and heavy. It's like made from, solid whatever solid stuff it is. Okay, steel. Okay, iron ore, straight from Sishen. It's hectic. It's heavy. All right, but Papa is sterk. So I try and lift it, and I couldn't lift the one, so I try the other one. And yeah, I managed to get the other one. You're like, with the edge of your fingers, you're ripping that thing up. Sure, I haven't been in a drain in a long time. This thing is deep. Okay. There's like a ladder going down. Some of you will know I'm not too comfortable with the hairy little spiders and so on. But, you know, my boy is watching me. Okay, I'm going to get that ball because I see the ball's down there. But it's literally, it's like 9 feet, 10 feet down. And it's a cramped space. It's dark down there. So I climb down there. And immediately, now the top is like about, you know, it's a bit higher than this above me. And immediately I'm down there and it's like, it's quiet. It's like it's just the noise. Again, the noise of the world is shut out. You know, and when you're a parent of toddlers, actually that was nice to be there for a little while. You know, they can be quite noisy. And so I'm like tempted to have some quiet time and everything, but I know they're waiting. So, you know, I grab the ball and climb up there again. But it's like we need to find our quiet place. Okay. You need to find your quiet place. So there should be a drain near you. If that's going to work for you, get that. Okay. But we mustn't move in assumption. You know, and when the Lord speaks to us and when we're spending time with Him, He's not always going to change our circumstances. He's not always going to change our circumstances. Classic example, think of the robber on his left and his right, you know, hanging at Calvary, and it's not on the screen there, I don't think. And so the robber recognizes Jesus as Lord, and he says, you know, remember me when you go, you know, to be in paradise. And then the Lord says, yeah, but you're going to be there with me today. And just the most awesome example of God's grace for all of us. None of us are any better than that robber. You know, we've just been blessed to come to know the Lord longer before we die. But you know, he didn't change that robber's circumstances. He still died on the cross there. And so we mustn't always expect that the Lord's going to change our circumstances. We must be careful of running an assumption. When times get tough, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not where God wants you to be. Okay, so we must really, it's about being close to Jesus, spending time with Him, being sensitive to what He's saying, knowing His will for our lives. Okay, what do we do with God's word for us? Hebrews 3, verse 15, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Okay, we must always maintain a soft, submissive heart, willing heart. Submission, hupotasso, the Greek, is to put yourself underneath someone else. It's a willingness. Like you can command a child to sit down and the child will sit, being obedient, but then the child will tell you, in my heart, I'm still standing up. Okay, that's unsubmissive. We need to have submissive hearts when it comes to the Lord. The Lord loves to deal with submissive people because He knows He can trust us. He knows He can share that with us because we're hungry, we're eager to hear what's on His heart. We're ready to go wherever, Lord. You know, have that, Pastor Fred always says, you know, when it comes to, say, church planting, and some of you have been called to plant churches, you know, and others, you know, each one is a ministry and each one is equally important, and we must find out what that is. But whatever season you're in, like Pastor Fred says, we must be eager to go but willing to stay. It's like, whatever the Lord says, I'm willing. Eager to go but willing to stay. All right, that is the attitude that we must cultivate. Because so often we're in that place of, you know, we become like Martha and we start wanting to tell the Lord how to do things. And we wanting to start griping and complaining and comparing. No. You know, the Lord has something specific and unique for each of us. We're going to miss it if we're too focused on other people. Again, Mark 4, he has ears to hear, let him hear and pay attention. The measure you use will be measured to you and more will be added. He who has more will be given and he who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, it's about stewardship. It's about deeming as precious the things of God. Someone once said, actually it was Pastor Fred. Listen to me. Someone once said, that's how they say often, you know, you start off by saying, if you quote someone a lot, Pastor Fred always says, and then it's someone once said, and then it's like, as I always say. So, Pastor Fred, he says, the things of God are only as powerful to you as what they are precious to you. Okay, we need to deem the things of God precious. We need to be willing. We need to be hungry for Him. Okay, we need to be faithful, a good steward with what God gives us. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, you guys know the story, building the house upon the rock. That is when we hear the word of God and we do it. Then the tough times can come, the wind and the storms and the floods, and we will stay standing. Because the word of God doesn't profit you anything if you're not doing it. Okay, it comes alive when we start applying it in our life. Okay, then it comes alive to us. All right, now that going on to our last section, we're still okay, we're doing all right, guys. And this is about waiting on the Lord. Okay, just practical, I know Ross, I think I learned this from Ross. But I searched in the Psalms there, and it's got some beautiful, the Psalms is amazing. If you want to cultivate that intimacy with God, you know, maybe just before bedtime, read a psalm as well. Because it just kind of, you know, David obviously having written a lot of the psalms and the Lord, you know, kind of accrediting him with that, him being a man after his own heart. You can really pick up a heart and that love affair with God, spending time in the psalms. Just that, how we communicate with him, what a relationship with God looks like, what intimacy with God looks like. And from a man who's by no means perfect, like any of us, we can relate with David. Even though he went on to accomplish great and mighty things for God, and so can we. And we have the Spirit of God. How much more so? But here's just a few examples in Psalm 62. When it comes to waiting on the Lord, spending time with him, being just there in his presence and sensitive to what he's saying, listening. He says in verse 1, therefore God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. I see you guys are practically doing that silently. That's very good. Okay, so you catch on very quickly. Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Okay, all day long. And Psalm 27, verse 14, so it's just three things I'm trying to highlight here. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Three things I want to take out there that we wait for him, just aspects of waiting. We wait quietly. Don't say a word. Okay? Wait patiently all day long. And wait expectantly. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Take heart. Be of good courage. Keep waiting. Okay? Wait. We've got to wait on him with the expectation. Your expectation is his invitation. Okay? Don't go and spend time with the Lord and you just keep looking at your watch and, you know, ooh, my appointment's coming up now. And, you know, we've got to really be expectant. You've got to listen. You know, you've got to zone out the things of the world and you've got to zoom in to the Lord and just listen. Get on his frequency, on his wave, okay, and he's going to speak to you. So wait quietly, patiently, and expectantly. And it's also very often it's not a passive thing. You're not like passed out on the couch waiting for the Lord. Yes, he can give you dreams, but don't just say, Lord, you know, I just want dreams. Okay. Meditate on the word of God. Psalm 1, delight is in the law of the Lord, on his law he meditates day and night. It's taking that portion of scripture, even that one verse, and just going over it and over it again in your mind, just pondering on it, mulling over it, thinking, you know, observing what is in that scripture, taking it apart, putting it back together. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to say through this? Let the Lord speak. It's letting the Lord speak to you through scripture as well. So often, like I said, we gobble up just to stay alive, but we need to chew on the food. Then we'll really get the full benefit of what, then it's going to be an experience, like my wife's cottage pie. Okay, hope she made some tonight. Worship the Lord, Acts 16, verse 25. You know, Paul and Silas, they were locked up in prison. They could have said, oh, okay. You know what I mean? They're men of faith. They're not afraid. They're not scared. They know they're going to get out eventually. And if not, hey, you know, they're there for the good cause. And, you know, they did all they can and now they're in this place. So they could have parked off and just caught, you know, 40 winks and just slept and whatever. And what they weren't doing that. They were busy praying and singing hymns to the Lord. You know, part of your waiting can be this just worship. Worship is just a focus on the Lord. It's putting the spotlight on Jesus. All right. So it's really getting away from the rush and distraction of life. Remember, the enemy wants to distract us, even with busyness. This is one of our biggest challenges in modern society, because it is life in the fast lane. Okay, we're a bit closer to Cape Town, but then we kind of sidestep to the sea, so it's not as fast. Okay, so I think we're probably on a par. Okay, Tigerberg and Table View, but it's still pretty fast. I think you'll agree. Life is busy. And I think busyness is one of the number one things that's robbing us from hearing God's voice. Okay? And so we need to zone out of the busyness. Life doesn't have to be a rat race. You can dictate the pace of your life and what you do with your life. Because let me tell you, when you're in God's will, there's always time for rest. God displayed that for us right in the beginning. He took a day of rest. He doesn't even need rest. Okay? But he showed us something there. Okay, and we know we need to take rest. I mean, it was even there in the Ten Commandments. We need rest. Okay, if you're not resting, you know, you might need a holiday right now. All right, you can't even wait till Christmas comes. You need to take some time off. All right, don't try and carry over all your holiday days for, you know, one day, someday, maybe when. All right, you need to take regular breaks. All right, that's going to keep you going. Too many people are burning out in the kingdom, and they're getting tired. And you know, when you get tired, then you become vulnerable, super vulnerable to the enemy. And you're open to the slightest little distraction or lie or temptation and whatever, and that's going to sidetrack you. And how many great men of God that have done awesome things for God, been super busy for the Lord, and maybe you can cite a lack of rest, you know, to setting that platform for them to get tempted and sidetracked and, you know, out of God's will for their lives. And how sad. We need to make sure that we get regular rest. I mean, something like the average life expectancy of a pastor in the ministry, not life expectancy, like ministry time frame, is 10 years or something before burnout. You know, that's a worldwide stat. So that is quite scary, because you'd kind of like to see, so far you've got quite a lot of youngish pastors. I mean, you don't want to see pastors burning out by the time they're 35 or something like that. I mean, that's crazy. You know, what do we do for another 50 years? I mean, so, you know, and this, the same for any of us. Whatever our ministry, we need to take regular time of rest. The Lord showed us. He said, if you're feeling, you know, weary and heavily burdened, you know, come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, that doesn't sound like hard work. You are working. You're yoked with the Father. You're busy working. You're plowing that field, but he's doing all the hard work. Okay? You're making yards and kilometers behind you. You're doing great work, but he's carrying the load. And you're actually rest. You're in a place of rest. So sometimes we get like Martha and we're all troubled and we're anxious and we're actually just overtired. You know, we're doing too much. We're too busy. We need to make time and sit by the Lord's feet like Mary. She chose the good portion. She chose what is necessary. If you're not having regular rest, you're missing what is necessary. Okay, so it's just like a stern, just word to make sure you're getting that rest. Because we will miss the Lord wholesale. Okay, and it's, you know, that's not a nice place to be. And one sees that every so often, you know, and people will take on too much, overcommit, too many different things that the Lord didn't necessarily ask you to do. And then it's like burnout, you know, serving in the church. You can't, we all want to serve in every ministry team because it's fun to serve and we know we get blessed when we serve. But you can't serve on every ministry team. Okay, we need to find out what does the Lord want from us. Everyone is meant to be serving in the Father's house. We need to make sure where is it the Lord wants us. It doesn't help. We serve everywhere. 6 months later, we burn out and we feel we've dropped everyone, and so we run away from the church. And Now we haven't done anyone any favors. Okay. It's about staying close to Jesus. So I'm just going to close by just also saying, you know, the Lord really blessed us a short while ago as a church, as I mentioned, with the youth coming in. We spent a number of weeks before that as the Lord just prompted us that we're entering a new season and we need to find out as a church what He has in store for us, what He wants us to pray into and everything. And I kind of rebranded our prayer time as Stop and Listen. And I really thought, you know, that it's just a highlight for me of the week as well. Just the invitation to stop, you know, is good enough. You know, I'm there every time. Okay, you might say I have to be there, but I can't wait. Okay, just that invitation to stop. As I said, you know, we all live life in the fast lane, and when you got kids at home as well, it's busy. There's no, you know, there's no quietness, okay, because they take turns sleeping, our two children. Okay, so it's a blessing people have many kids. All right. So I look forward to my stop and listen time with the church. Okay, just that corporate time. You must have it personally. You must get out the house. You must go sit there by the beach. You must do that thing. But corporately also, we need to come together to find out, you know, what the Lord has on His heart for the church. He wants to speak to us as a church. He doesn't just want to speak to one or two people. Don't want the same two people every time coming to tell the church, okay, now we're going to do this for the next few months or whatever, because no, we're all part of it. The Lord wants to come and reveal different parts to all of us. We're a body. We're working together. Don't neglect your coming together time. Don't neglect the corporate prayer time. It's powerful. It really is powerful. It really is this is a call to prayer. It's a call to coming close to Jesus. Okay, and we waited on the Lord those few weeks, and the Lord was so faithful in revealing His heart to us, and we launched our new campaign. And as I said, you know, the Lord really taking us, you know, in faith in a season of harvesting, and He somewhat blessed us, as I said, with the whole bunch of youth there, and it's really brought just renewed vigor and life to the church. And I just want to encourage you to come back to corporate prayer. You know, maybe you know, these are one of the primary things the Lord wants us to be part of. He said, my house will be called the house of prayer. So we need to be spending time praying. And why not pray together with, you know, make that part of your prayer life is praying together with others. Because that's also a place where we learn to hear the voice of God, where we learn to pray to Him, and where we expose to the different giftings. It's really a blessing. So I want to encourage you in that. Just that final scripture, Revelations 3:20, very well known. You know it. And it's where the Lord says in Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then what does He say? He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come into him and I'll eat with him and he with me. There's a feast waiting for all those who would stop and listen. If anyone hears my voice. He's speaking here to the church, which indicates that, you know, and it's true for a lot of the church, that we don't actually listen out for Him. And in a sense, we, you know, we're outside of His will in many, you know, to a large extent, because we don't know what He wants for us now. Remember, you know, we need to go to Him every day for instruction and so on. He really has something to teach us and tell us and direct us with every day. The lamp to our feet. He doesn't just want to be a light to our path and say, okay, there's your instructions, off you go, I'll see you after 50 years. He wants relationship with us. That's why He created us. A living relationship with our God. Okay, that's where the testimonies flow out of. If we're in relationship with the Lord, we'll have lots of testimonies, because every day is doing stuff with us. That's, you know, that's what a testimony is. It's telling of what God is doing in our lives. All right, so we need to spend time. We need to stop and listen. Anyone hears my voice, I'll come in and we'll have a feast. There's nothing better than spending time with the Lord. Okay. You just need to take my word for that. You need to believe that. That is the best thing ever. You know, those stand as really as monuments in my life. Those times in the mountain when the Lord spoke so clearly. You know, that's so refreshing. It's so amazing. Those were times, every time I was seeking the Lord for direction, you know, or, you know, feeling there's a season coming on or whatever, or big decisions to make, I would go into the mountains, you know, and I'd spend time fasting. It's just something about food also. I've mentioned cottage pie a number of times tonight, but it can be distracting, okay? It's so good, all right? So it's something about, you know, foregoing food that helps us to focus on the Lord. It's amazing also how much time it frees up, how much time we actually spend cooking and eating and cleaning after we eat and all that kind of stuff. So I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you, do whatever it takes to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ to hear what's on His heart for you, because that's where you want to be, that's where you're moving. It's, yeah, in time with the Lord, in step with Him, that's where you want to be. Okay, can we stand please tonight? Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Our Father God, Lord, we just thank You for precious time like tonight, precious time in worship unto You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord, for just the testimonies we could hear tonight and just the truth, Lord, that You came and edified and built us up with tonight. Thank You for Your word tonight, Lord God. Thank You for Scripture, Lord, that really is a light in our life. It gives us direction, Lord. It shows us, Lord, the ins and outs and the how to, Lord. It shows Your heart for us, Lord God. It reveals, Lord, the intentions of our hearts, Lord. And it teaches us something about society and where we fit in and the difference that You've called us to make. And Lord, we recognize that tonight and we acknowledge tonight, Lord, that sometimes we miss it, Lord God. Lord, and sometimes we place the urgent above the important, even above the most important, which is seeking first Your kingdom, Your righteousness, spending time with You, Lord. Then everything will fall into place. But Lord, sometimes we get distracted even from that. Even as we learn from the story of Mary and Martha, Lord, we thank You for that example. Lord, thank You what we can learn from that. Thank You, Lord, that You are calling each one of us, Lord, to a closer, more intimate relationship with You. Lord, we can always go deeper. We can always grow more intimate with You. Lord God, let us never be satisfied with where we're at in our relationship with You. Lord, but let us always yearn for more. Lord, because there's so much of You, Lord. Lord, you want to give us so much more, Lord. You want to reveal so much more to us. You want to use us so much more, Lord. And Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, that You already have blessed us so greatly. And thank You that each of us know You and that we can know You, Lord God, that we can know Your will for our lives. Lord, it's the greatest privilege, Lord God, to know You, Lord, and to just enjoy that peace, that security, and that significance, Lord God, that we find in our identity in You and knowing that we are where You want us to be, Lord. And we don't have to get distracted or feel like we have to compete with the people next to us. Thank You, Lord God, that each one of us is unique. Lord, You've set us in a unique place in Your body. You've given us unique gifts and abilities with which to fulfill our function. And Lord, I pray for a grace for each one here tonight, Lord, that we would be able to just hear Your voice that much more clearly, Lord, as to what You have on Your heart for us at this time. I pray, Lord, that in this week, Lord, as we spend time with You, You'll just continue to place those seeds of destiny in our hearts, Lord God, that You'll come and reveal more of Your will for us. Lord, let us seek Your heart in this week. Let us take stock in this week of where we are now, what You have called us to originally, Lord God, Your last command to us. Because in truth, You can only take us far as our last step of obedience to You. And some of us, Lord, if we're honest, we are off course, even if it's only by a few degrees, but we have wandered off that path that You have set before us. Not that we're doing anything bad, but it's not exactly what You asked us to do. And I pray for grace, Lord, to come back to that path. Lord, to grace to repent and to let go of the things that we've taken on that You have not asked us to take on, and to come back and take hold of what You have given us to do. Lord, I pray for grace. And maybe just with every eye closed, if that's you tonight, if you feel but you've strayed, you know that you've strayed off the path that God is, in terms of the specific things that He's asked you to do at this time, then I ask you if you'd raise your hand. I just want to pray just for just an extra measure of grace for you. If you know that's you, you can raise your hand. There's a few hands going up. And I just want to pray for that grace that the Lord will just really just come and renew your hope and your zeal and your passion to do that which He has called you to. You know, sometimes we get distracted and other things maybe seem quite appealing and so on, and we just start veering off. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, you see the people, Lord God, that they hear and they know already. Lord, you have asked them, you've ministered to them about something, you've asked them to do something, Lord, and they have strayed slightly off that path, or maybe greatly, Lord, but I thank you that there's grace here. There's grace to recommit to what you have called them to do, even if it seems impossible, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. You always call us to do something that is beyond our abilities, because you never want us to go anywhere without you. You never want us to be independent of your help, but always dependent upon you. And so thank you, Lord, that when you call us, you always call us to the impossible. And I pray, Lord God, that each one here will once more take heart, that even if it seems impossible what you have called them to, that you will do it with them. You are the strength in that, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you will help them every step of the way. You are faithful. You say in your word, he who calls us is also faithful and will do it. Thank you, Lord. We know you will do it, and you are our strength. And I just give you praise for that, Lord. And then there's another group of people, if you will raise your hands, if you just feel, man, life is running away from me. Things are out of control. Things are too busy. I don't even know if I'm coming or going. Am I Mary or Martha? Yeah, what is going on? You just put up your hand. If just the busyness of life is getting to you and you're not getting that rest that you need, you are worn out and you are heavily burdened, and the end of year is coming and you wish that today was the 6th of December or even, you know, the 24th of December, because you need a break. Okay? I believe the Lord will just refresh you and restore you even now before you go home tonight. If you just raise your hand, if you just feel that busyness is just getting to you. Thank you, Lord. You see the weary and heavily laden, and I thank you, Lord, that you've invited them to come to you to get rest. And I thank you even as a gesture now, Lord, they're coming to you, Lord, and I thank you now, Lord, just for an outpouring of strength, of comfort, and of rest, Lord, refreshing, restoration for each of them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for new vigor, new zeal, new heart, new courage, Lord, whatever is waiting for them when they get home, whatever is waiting for them at work tomorrow, whatever relational challenges are waiting for them next week and the week thereafter, Lord, I thank you. You give them sufficient grace for each of those in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that once more they have chosen, Lord, to yoke with you. And I thank you, Lord, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I proclaim it over each of them. They yoke with you and your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I thank you, Lord, you give them strength and you give them wisdom in order to take, Lord, regular rest. Lord, physical rest. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, a final appeal. If you, yeah, and I know Ross made the invitation earlier, and you feel that you're simply far from Jesus. You're simply far from Him. And maybe even tonight, I don't know who's visiting, yeah. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe a friend brought you here. And you know you experienced something here that maybe you haven't experienced before, but you know that the Lord is speaking to you. You know that the Lord is calling you into a relationship with Him, because to be honest, you have never been in a relationship with the Lord. You don't know His voice. And you so desperately want to. And I want to tell you, you don't need to do anything or to perform for God to earn relationship with Him. That is a one-way street. He did that for us on the cross. All you have to do is say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I want you, Jesus. and then you enter into relationship with Him. He did it for you on the cross. You just need to know that tonight. If there's anyone like that, just raise your hand. Every eye is still closed. If you want to say yes to Jesus tonight. Lord, I just want to bless each one here tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for these faithful men and women. I thank you, Lord, that what you have called them to are great and mighty deeds, Lord. Amazing things. Things that they've never even thought of or imagined. I thank you, Lord, that their lives are going to ring and cause ripples for an eternity, Lord God. I thank you that these are men and women of integrity and valor, courage, bravery, and they're going to leave a legacy, Lord God, for their children and their children's children and the children after them. I thank you, Lord, that men and women, Lord, from far and wide will be looking up to these people, Lord God, because of their faith and because they knew their God. And I thank you, Lord, that that which they do in accordance with your will for their lives, Lord, will stand for an eternity, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, here represented are lives of significance, lives of meaning. I thank you, Lord God, that this church, Lord, is going to do great and mighty things in this area, Lord God. Even as we were worshiping tonight and you showed me that massive iron fist, Lord God, as they're taking the kingdom for you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that the kingdom of darkness has to give way. And we just bless you for that, Lord. Thank you for the way in which you're using this church. And I just speak blessing here. I just leave my peace here, Lord God. And I bless this church. Thank you, Lord. If anyone has any other prayer requests, you're welcome to come forward after the service. I'd love to pray with you. And there'll be ministry facilitators as well. I don't know, Magriet, you want to say something? Yeah. So thanks so much. Thanks for your time. It's been really great being here.